morning, Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another edition of Blueprint for Life, The Awakening, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, restoring the cultural identity of the original Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time, bringing us back to our culture, thus bringing us back to our God and our understanding of our spirituality, which is not steeped in religion, our pagan Christianity. I am V, the preacher, and it indeed is a pleasure to be back with you and to keep chugging along during this time of transition, tribulation, where we're all going through a lot of various different things, but we're making it through. So I have dedicated my time on Sabbath lessons to just keep us encouraged and exhort one another and figure out how to make it through, which is why the title of today's lesson is Can You Stand the Rain, which has to do with endurance. But of course, I'm not talking about the R-A-I-N. I'm talking about the R-E-I-G-N. Albeit, we'll find out that in Joel, the second chapter, there's conversation about the latter and the former rain coming together in our final blessings, vindications, and validations of us as a people who have been tested, tried, and true. And I'm praying that that is you, I and you, that will be able to be found worthy to make it through into the kingdom. Know this, he has a remnant, promised Abraham, our forefather, that there would be a remnant that will make it through. And it's going to really require not only endurance and diligence. We're going to get into some of the other scriptures today. So many, when you start to understand this Hebrew history book that this world likes to call the Bible and use it for religious dogma, when you begin to understand this book and take the red pill, blue pill, you know, as they say in the Matrix, and you begin to wake up to the lies that you've been steeped in, things really change. And you start to realize, I've got to separate myself from this world. And when we say the Lord's Prayer, that Yeshua, our Messiah, whom you call Jesus Christ, taught us how to pray, and he told us to pray to the Father, not him, and not worship him. Something pagan Christianity taught us to do is worship Jesus as God, because that definitely wasn't Yeshua, our Mashiach, because he taught us to worship the Father and say, Our Father, who art in Shemaim, heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means separated, set apart, what you know as saved and sanctified. We don't talk about salvation, because salvation comes when our Savior comes to save us from this mess. And being sanctified means being set apart. It means that you don't look like these people in this world. You don't act like them, and you understand the emphasis that Christ put on the fact that he said, don't be surprised when they don't love you, because they didn't love me. So what makes you think they're going to love you and what you stand for? Now, let's make sure that they don't hate you because you're a terrible person. You've got to get yourself right. It's important that you're not mean and nasty anymore and have complete dementia and forgetfulness of how wicked you used to be and the sins you committed in your past. It's his mercy and grace that's allowed you to be right here, which should cause you to be a nicer person and a better person, not a good person. There's none good but the Most High. We know trying to say anybody could just be good, you're going to be all right, is an idiosyncrasy of Satanism, because he's all about you lifting and boosting yourself and promoting yourself as a God, which falls into idolatry. So we have, before we get into the main lesson, which is can you stand the rain, we're going to talk about a few other things, and I don't want to belabor the time. We know that it's important to stay healthy. There won't be a segment this morning on health as well. We'll continue that next week, most high willing, on Wednesdays, as we get ready to bring forward our herbal company, where we will send you something for free if need be to help you keep your nutritional standards at an optimum level to fight against these things and know that, hey, what the Most High gave me called immunity, an immune system, it will and can function just perfect, just right. And, you know, my heart goes out to all the people who struggle. I was watching a show, 600-pound life, who struggle with weight. And as I watch them struggle, I see little nuances of things that they do that still won't help them to stay where they need to remain, which is dietary laws. And we know about that. If we don't engage people in everyday life and we just look at them and walk by them and say, we're doing a disservice to our people. Whether they receive it or not, it's important to tell them in love that I don't think you should eat the shrimp, crab, pork, crawfish. And if you can give them some scientific basis, evidence, information that tells them why it doesn't coincide with your body and the type of person you are as a black man, black woman, that biologically, physically, those things don't mesh with your body and they cause higher cholesterol, higher blood pressure, lupus, and diabetes in you. So though you have been told it's a delicacy, it's really an abomination to your holy temple that the Most High made in his image. And he never created those things to be food. They have another job in the earth, which is to really eat up the refuse, the feces, and the remains, carcasses of dead animals. It's not something you should put in your body along with a healthy salad, thinking that you're doing well. And I know it's a big mistake that we make. So come on, do your due diligence. We no longer have the affordability to be lazy. I know sometimes I get tired. I thank the Most High for bringing us through a pretty tough week after having lost a mom 1 year, a father 1 year, dealing with a lot of people who have been trying to steal things from their estates, people fighting me for no reason while I'm the one that's grieving but never having a chance to grieve and wanting to stop and grieve. But unfortunately, I don't have the luxury, neither do you, to go sit somewhere on the side of the mountain like Elijah and cry and hide from Jezebel and whimper. We must continue to perform and do the work because we don't have long down here, and only what we do for Christ will last. So I just want to put that out there real quick. I'm praying for you. You pray for me. And Christ told us to follow peace with all men and holiness without. That's Kodesh sanctified, again, set apart, different. You won't even get to see him. So let me say this before I get into my three parts of the lesson. Just three little quick parts. Don't worry about it. We're not going to be long. It's important that we not fall into, and I'm not going into all this stuff today because we know all the algorithms are out there now and censoring channels and slicing people and knocking them off the air. And we're getting away. We're starting to get so into what's going on around us and reveal it and uncover it. We think we're doing our people a service that we're forgetting about the word of Yah and giving people the word, which increases your faith so that you can keep pushing and understand your visions and dreams and be prepared when he returns. You can't fall for this where it looks like everything's opened back up and you look like we're going back to normal. That's you looking in the rearview mirror. And this Paul said it best. Forgetting those things, which he said first, I count not myself to have apprehended to say that I've achieved a mark. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press toward the mark to obtain my prize. And Satan will have you manipulated through your thoughts, your minds, things that happened in the past, things that could have happened in the past, things you thought should have happened in the past because your lust was like you should have got with this person, did this, or you should have stole this, stole that, did this, achieved that. You've got to stand where you are and be steadfast and move forward and not listen to the dictates of the world. I'm going to the next party, club, can't wait till the next game, can't wait till my next relationship. We've got to focus on what's happening around us. Some of us know this is the beginning of the tribulation and we're in Jacob's trouble. And some are saying, welcome to the beginning of the new world order. Some are cheering this and welcoming it. And some are saying, wow, this is the time of great woes, the sorrows. And we realize that we have to buckle up and we have to learn to count it all joy. So key for you to learn to count this all joy. Count it all joy. So as being Boris Cooper Ministries, being the preacher, my assignment is to try and keep you going as I keep myself going from a prophetic discerning standpoint, and do it with joy and await the reward. I don't tear down things from my past because it's a foundation, but I've grown upon that foundation. I come from a foundation background of the Christian church where my father and mother were pastors, but little did I know that, you know, my mom got baptized when I was 3 months in her womb. She got filled with the Spirit, and something was on me. My dad put a Hebrew Strong's book in my hand for me to preach my first sermon, and I'm quoting Hebrew when I was 14. Jeremiah 1 and 5 said, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I called you, sanctified you to be a prophet to the nations. You think you are in control, and if you heard me last week, I made it clear, you can't save your life. So don't take on external sciences that Paul warned us about out of fear to try and save your life because you're moving in fear, and stop trying to move all over the place, because even in Joel, the second chapter, he said that he's going to gather people from all around and take them into the cities to destroy the Gentiles. Yeah, you're going to get picked up to come do some work and to help our Savior when he returns, that you see in the book of Jude, to destroy the enemy. I digress and I rest my case. Let's go ahead and move forward, and we'll go through these first two things, and then we'll get into our lesson. What I want to talk about, Blueprint for Life, goes back to Acts 13 and 15, where every seventh day was the Sabbath, and they would go to the synagogues to hear the reading of what you call the Old Testament, but they call it the Holy Scriptures, such as the Torah, the Tanakh, the Book of Jubilees, referenced in Samuel, the Book of Jasher, the Book of Enoch. They had it all on scrolls. They didn't have Bibles then. So when you look at 13 and 15, you see everyone made sure they went to the temple to hear the reading. And just from the reading of these books, people were saved, transformed, and set free. It was even on that seventh day that Paul showed up with Barnabas one day, and the priest summoned Paul to the front, and Paul began to preach and put the people in remembrance of the goodness of Yah. Brothers and sisters, the Blueprint for Life is important for us to establish the moral fiber of our community, which is why Black Cultural Restoration Association exists. You need to know who you are so you can be who you're supposed to be. And that will help to restore the moral fiber of our communities, because what we've been working with all this time, pagan Christianity, Orisha, Black Islam, I call it Black Islam because they don't like Elijah Muhammad over there with the real Arabs and all that. They call them a fake, pseudo-Islam. Nevertheless, it has not helped our people to get to where we need to go, because we have still increased murder. And we are primarily responsible for over 20 million Margaret Sanger abortions of our children and the genocide that's happening. It's not helping. But if you give us a cultural substandard, a set of laws to govern ourselves and get us back into our true culture, not that Sunday church culture where you bucking and shouting, and not watermelon and chicken, the lies that have been promoted to you, but you find out who you really are according to Deuteronomy 28 and where we went wrong, then we're creating a blueprint for how we should conduct our lives. And we know that the Bible tells us all throughout Psalms that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of a man and making wise the simple. And we have become simple-minded because we chase after just two things, money and sex. Well, then we think we got power, but every power down here in this world is an illusion of power, because Satan, this whole world has been turned over to Satan and his children, those people who call themselves the elite, the upper echelon, the top of the pyramid in this food chain, the blue blood royal families, where all of your presidents and politicians are cousins. It was the seventh day that the Most High blessed after creation and said, be fruitful, multiply. This is the day I bless, where we all rest. And that continues. Man can't change that. The Vatican can't change that. Your religion that was created by Satan to divide because of his five-point plan in Isaiah, that can't change that. This is the day that the Most High has made, and we've got to rejoice in it and be glad. I want to share a story with you about the blessings of keeping the commandments and having the presence of Yah in your home and in your life. Because when you connect to the laws of the heavenly tablets and keep the commandments and holy days that he keeps, like the holy days, holidays of his people that are mentioned in Leviticus 23 and the Sabbath, you align yourself with the holy angels and with the Most High. You're in sync. And when you bring that into your tabernacle, your temple, it's just like the Ark of the Covenant when it was present with the children of Israel. In 2 Chronicles 20 and 22, we see the children of Israel going into battle. And before they went into battle, they would march, the Levites carrying the Ark of the Covenant, because that was their secret weapon, which had the power that would conquer their enemies. And they sent Judah, the praise team, in front of the ark to worship and praise. And this destroyed our enemies every time. When Yah is with you, who can be against you? So when you bring the presence of Yah into your home and you reverence him and worship him by bringing his holy covenant into your life and your home, you begin to reap and incur the blessings of the Most High. The story I want to share with you is about King David, who once he was in Jerusalem and rebuilding the holy city and the temple and became the king of both Judah and Israel, because it was a time where he was only the king of Judah, but then they were brought together and he ruled over all of Israel. At that point, the temple was built. He went into the city before the temple was built by Solomon, but he knew he needed to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the city. In order to establish the presence of the Most High Yah, into the city. And that wasn't going to happen. I mean, this was something that was people tried to steal from them. It's like having a secret weapon. And all these other Gentile nations knew about this secret weapon, and they wanted to get it out of their hands. But Yah was so ahead of them that he's made it to where only the Levites could touch the Ark of the Covenant. Anyone else touched it, they dropped dead immediately. As a matter of fact, the story is in 2 Samuel 6:12 about Obed-Edom. I don't think it's the same. It said Obed-Edom the Gittite, who was a soldier for David. But Obed-Edom also, there's many of them in the Bible, because Jesse's father was Obed-Edom, which would make Obed-Edom David's grandfather as well. But not to deviate from the point of the story that I really want to share. As David was transporting the ark back to Jerusalem, he knew that the Levites had to carry it, and if anybody touched it, they would die. Well, there was a soldier who was walking with them, and the donkey accidentally stumbled on the rock, and the ark began to fall over, and Uzzah went to keep the ark from falling and reached out to save it. And as soon as he did that, he died immediately. Most High gives you instructions. He gives you specific instructions, and he doesn't play. And here's the cold-blooded thing, and I don't mean to say cold-blooded towards Yah. In what Uzzah did, he had good intentions. He didn't want it to fall to the ground. But when Yah says something, it's still a commandment and a rule that must be kept outside of your good intentions. You have to watch people who claim they had good intentions and they mean you well, they meant well, they didn't mean anything by it. I was just trying to, I don't really want to hear all that. Let's stick to the script and the facts, because this could cost you your life or me my life. So when he says do something, you have to do it. He died. After he died, David got scared of that ark. He didn't want to bring it back to Jerusalem. He was bitter. He was like, what? So he left the ark at Obed-Edom's house. Check this out, people. He left it at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months in a row. And the Lord, the Most High, began to bless Obed-Edom's house, his wife, his children, his sons, three wives, all bore blessed children, and their wombs were unlocked because they were barren. And Obed-Edom would light a candle before the ark every morning and every night, and would worship and praise. Somebody peeked in the window. Who's that peeking in my window? Ran back and told David, Obed-Edom is blessed. Let me read some of this for you. An understanding of blessing and curses is important. A blessing is a spiritual force that causes success, protection, happiness beyond what you even deserve. I can attest to that. The moment I started to lock in right with these commandments, properly with my family, saying that, you know, as for me and my house, that means if the house has to be reduced to no children that don't want to follow or anything. When you get your relationship on point, even if you have to change the nail in your tent, and you heard that story before, you want to produce blessings on your life and have favor, it is honoring the presence of Yah, which is what Obed-Edom literally did with having the Ark of the Covenant in his home for 3 months. David don't know what he did and set this man up. Understanding of blessing and curses is foundational to a study of the Most High spiritual laws. Even though curses are real, it is important to know that the blessings are more powerful, just as light is more powerful than darkness, and we see that in Deuteronomy 28. Those observing Obed-Edom's blessing, they must have seen astonishing things to have the report even get to the king. What do you think his neighbors may have seen? Let's speculate a bit. I believe they observed most of all these things: relational healing and joy in his family, faces glowing with the glory of Yah, vegetation thriving, plants and what they were growing outside, profound wisdom, deep intimacy with Yah, confidence, peace, supernatural power, success in everything they did, unusual financial prosperity, favor, physical vitality, protection, and the ability to create blessing wherever they went. You know what I'm talking about. People talking about you got a glow, you look so well, what are you doing, what are you eating, what are you taking? No, it's the presence of Yah. You better give him his glory and his due. What did Obed-Edom do to receive all these benefits? He basically did nothing to receive these free gifts of life, this grace. He was the benefactor of a spiritual force called blessings. Get sick and they're tired of everybody abusing the word, hey, bro, how you doing? I'm blessed. Blessed. No. His experience speaks that there are higher ways of living available to us. And now that we walk in this new covenant, we understand that the power that was in the ark can now reside in us if we keep the commandments, keep the Sabbath, and keep the holy days. Let me read that for you. Psalms 1 and 3. His delight is in the law of Yah, and whatsoever he does shall he prosper. When you get happy, and today's the Sabbath, because he said my commandments aren't grievous. It's not like, oh, I can't have barbecue anymore. Oh, I got to keep this. I can't go nowhere. I can't spend money. I'm glad I'm not giving Satan my money, going to his Targets, his Macy's, his festivals, because only what you do for Christ will last. So that is a powerful story that I've always loved about Obed-Edom. David came and got that ark out that man's house. I'll take it to Jerusalem now, because we need these blessings to be on the whole city. That is also when his wife, Micah, who was Saul's daughter, saw him dancing before the ark as he learned from Obed-Edom, because Obed-Edom was just in there dancing in his house every day before the presence of Yah. And I want y'all to understand that and see it, because that's where we have to be right now with all this stuff going on around us, wars, there's rumors of wars. Dance before the presence of Yah. And Micah, his wife, she was like, look at it, because that's when David danced his clothes off in the street. I guess too many women got to see his accoutrements. But anyway, after she mocked her husband and talked about him, because I'm still dealing with you women today. We'll get to the men next year. I'm sorry. She was cursed with barrenness. She couldn't have a kid. And then she was banned from having another husband and everything for mocking the king, her husband, in his worship to Yah. There's a lot of meat in that story. I could spend the whole day on that story, but I just wanted to give you a nugget about Blueprint for Life, keeping the laws and commandments and the blessings that are in them. It's very important part of your life. So go and read that story. It'll teach you more about spiritual laws. You'll find it in 2 Samuel. Mostly 2 Samuel 6 and 12. And so these laws are really applied. I wish our kids understood about the seriousness of these laws. because only what you do for Christ will last. And, you know, we all have to pay a price for our wickedness, and those are dark times in our life. And I can't tell you enough, people, how blessed I have been by finding joy in keeping the laws and not letting nobody deter me. You not come back to church on Sunday and play the organ and shout at us? Absolutely not. Didn't get you anywhere. And now you've got these blue elites trying to use this plan D, to make sure those doors stay shut. And unfortunately, judgment has come upon those doors because they didn't get the job done, because for 25 years they taught a word of faith movement for prosperity and claiming things, name it and claim it. So pretty much they taught idolatry and covetousness and constantly participated in the spirit of Bacchus, and a lot of adultery and affairs constantly took place. No changing, no transitioning, no conversion, because conversion can only come once you adhere to the standards of the law, the blueprint for life. Because see, you start to conduct your life in a different way. You dress different, you speak different, you eat different. So that's what happens when Christ said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Yeshua. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how it happens. And that's what makes you a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So that was my Blueprint for Life segment. Before we take a break, let's go ahead and go to the next part I want to talk about, because this is like a part two of the problem with our young men and women. I did that 2 weeks ago. And then last week I did the curses of Isaiah 3 that spoke of young people leading us and women leading us, and the seriousness of the women's seducing men, because they seduced the 200 fallen angels, and the fallen angels taught them how to be seductive. And Book of Reuben warned that there's a place for women who are caught up into seducing men. And I don't like how, give me 1 second, love. External noise today. I don't like how all the women are starting to look the same, because they're doing the same things that the angels taught them to do, the beautifying, the eyelids, the pushing of sex, and no honor for any type of marriage or holy covenant, just out the window. I think I heard my son say that the woman saying, women ask each other, how many bodies you got now? How many men have you slept with? As if it's a badge of honor. And so they say bodies now, they're not talking about dead bodies. It's how many people can you destroy is the first word that comes to mind, but it's like deflower. And a woman, when she does that with a lot of men, she's lost her, you know, you were a virgin, you were pure. You just lost one of the most precious things that, you know, Yah has given you. And the sad thing is that we destroy our souls because we connect with someone we are not committed to, and we keep a piece of us inside of everybody we lay with, and that's potentially a demon and a desire and lust. And you up in the bed, don't know why these things are coming on you. You're not a repentant person. You haven't been born again, and you're now filled with the Holy Spirit. So therefore, you're caught up into lust and sins. As subtle as getting a strange phone call. And you'd be like, you know what? I was just thinking about you. There's a connection that needs to be broken by the power of Yah. These soul ties that you create, and the mixing of demonic spirits and the opening up of portals within your temple. Dangerous. Our sisters, my heart goes out to you, but for you to take honor in this lifestyle, because how Reuben described how you want to compete with men and get over men because you have no physical power over them. I will go out to you for just the simple fact that you are the weaker vessel, so we pray for you because we want to cover you. But we live in a society that women don't want to be covered. They want to be equal, treated as equals, and say, who do you think you are? They want to take the lead, and that's against God's order in Corinthians 7 chapter. So when you defile his order, you defile the blueprint for life that he set up for successful families in our neighborhoods. And so the women have been taught by so many Waiting to Exhale, Tyler Perry movies, and society, and feminism, which we're finding out does not mean what you think it means. You need to start doing the etymology of words, looking words up so you better understand it. Our women have been pre-programmed to suppress the black family by trying to take charge and lead because they've been being afforded the opportunities by Gentiles and heathens to destroy our community. I'm going to read a story to you today. I'm trying not to comment on it too long because I got a lesson to teach. But this story is a story about wives suspected of adultery. And I'm just really, my heart hurts how prevalent adultery is amongst women in marriages now. And they're talking about it on TV, watched a TV show the other night where a woman is a doctor, her husband's a doctor, but they have an open relationship and the woman just screws around with all the other doctors on the floor. And they're okay with that. Not only is that physically abusive to your body because of the exchanging of fluids and tampering, intermixing the DNA and becoming one with multiple people, it can be physically dangerous. And a lot of people end up snapping behind this. So it's really sad how there is no commitment anymore. And there's no honoring a holy commitment. Why are you having a big wedding and spending $20,000 on cakes and dresses and pictures and stuff when you're just going to keep... Listen to this story. I think it's self-explanatory. Numbers 5 and 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, because she thinks she got away with it, because she, you know, covered her trails. She used her other phone. It says she was at lunch with the girls, and she was at the hotel. And there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with that manner. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. That's the word I was looking for earlier. Our sisters, our women, our young women are just defiling themselves. So ain't nobody gonna want them when they're ready to stop their bodies. They're gonna be 50, 100 men that ran through them. You're defiled with a plethora of diseases. But let me finish. I said I was going to go straight through because we've got a few verses. Verse 14, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him. I bet you didn't know about that. There's a spirit of jealousy. But guess what the spirit of jealousy is doing? It's telling him, hey, man, something ain't right. Hey, you better go hire that detective. We're talking about adultery by the wife right now, okay? Verse 14, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. There he's wrong. Verse 15, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her. The tenth part, this is what he had to do with the priest. And be mindful now, this was before we were restored back into the priesthood as we are now under the order of Melchizedek. So now, men, you are the priest of your home. You don't have to get an offering and take it to a priest to find these things out. You are the priest. And when you know, these are the things that can befall your wife or your household. Listen to this. I'm going to skip down to verse 16. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Most High, because they went into the temples. 17. And the priest shall take the holy water in an earthen vessel, and of the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, because the presence of Yah would come in the tabernacle and rest there. So those places were holy, because he wasn't living inside of us as a body temple yet, because the sacrifice hadn't been made by Yeshua yet. So he would take dust off the floor and put it into the holy water. 18. And the priest shall set the woman before the Most High. This is what consciousness is gone now. We don't care if you do set up before the Most High and he's here listening. You'll still lie, thinking that the angels aren't watching you, as I said last week, and that the Most High is not listening and writing down your lies. So you think you can just lie and nothing will befall you. Here, there was more respect because they knew they were in the house of Yah. So the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover her head. Mm-hmm. Why is he uncovering her head? Because she's still dressing like she's a sanctified Hebrew woman, trying to cover up and act normal like nothing ever happened. And put the offering of a memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath, say unto the woman, if no man has laid with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of your husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causeth this curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee beside thy husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse and an oath among thy people. When the Lord doth make thy thighs to rot and thy belly to swell. Verse 22, and this water that causeth the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. And the priest shall write these curses in a book. I'm going to chronicle what you said and what I told you so that it's known for all of Israel to see. Because they're going to already know when you start walking around here with elephantitis and five stomachs. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Verse 24, and he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causeth the curse. And the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hands and shall wave the offering before the Most High and offer it up upon the altar. Remember, this was everything then. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar. And afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he hath made it, she should have been running out by now. And when he hath made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causeth the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. And her belly shall swell, and her thighs shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. You'll stand out. They're going to know you're a cursed woman. She immediately becomes barren, can't even have children anymore. And if the woman be not defiled but be clean, then she shall be free, and she shall conceive seed. This is the law of jealousies when a wife goes aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled. You defiling yourself by thinking you're getting back at somebody. I've seen this in churches and in camps. Just living like this. Verse 31, then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and this woman shall bear her iniquity. So what we have today with the man who is really walking after Yah and being a priest, if he finds this spirit of jealousy on him because he knows this is happening, the curse that comes upon women. So today, Satan's trying to cooperate with you women, and he's come up with Sanabella. Plastic surgery. So you think you can avert the curse and continue to be a whore. So what you're doing now, you're going to get plastic surgery to cover up the curse that's on you. You can't have children. You blame it on the man's sperm count. Elephantitis. You've seen this with women's legs. Somebody, I got little cottage cheese dimples. No, that's not what you got. You've taken what God has blessed this man with and giving it to another and defiled yourself through the spirit of jealousy, he knows. And you saw it right there, Numbers 5. Belly swells up and you're rotting. So I need to go see doctor now or a plastic surgeon, see if I can cover this up, get rid of it so I can continue with my vain ways and vanity and go get my next victim. I don't care about these curses. I'm just going to cover it up. And you're sick. And you wonder why you're sick. Gastrointestinal problems, bowels, can't walk, ankles, stuff swelling up, you know. Yeah, I'm blaming it on that because there's too many women out here committing adultery on their husbands, talking about they're going to get back at him and get even with him. That's the wrong spirit that's on you when you're supposed to be, Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman, and teaching other women according to Titus 2. You got enough things to do than to defile yourself and end up in hell, as the book of Reuben said, for all of your seduction and vanity that you believe in, that this world told you is the way. Women walking around here with what used to be stripper pumps, no clothes on. The curses of your stomach, swelling your breasts, dropping, so you're going to get breast implants, changing your face. And then when you're done with that, these people end up looking like demons after so many plastic surgeries. It becomes addictive and they can't stop. And you don't even look real. And don't think that in the midst of this plastic surgery that a demon is not coming into your body, because they're putting foreign substances in your body that could come from anywhere or have anything that brings spirits with it. Which is why all these women with these fake eyelashes and fake lips and fake butts and breasts are acting, looking the same. It's the same mentality, the same pop off, jump off, the same thinking they're wielding power. It's a demonic spirit. And it's worse than the spirit of Jezebel, because you have decided to walk in the spirit of adultery. And that also means for a woman to go from marriage to marriage, it's not cool. But now you have Bible precedence. So I just wanted to bring that to you. When we come back, can you stand the rain? Probably can't stand the rain. Because that is original material. And why don't you support us? That was Tanya singing. And if you go to Borice, B-O-R-R-I-E-C-E YouTube channel, you can stream that, download it. And I hope you enjoyed. That song is Mount Zion. Israel, we can't wait till we're able to get back home into our land, reclaim our inheritance, and take care of these culture vultures. They're getting ready to be dealt with, so I'm excited. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life, The Awakening. I'm B, the Preacher, brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association. I hope you're still with me, especially women. You know, like I said, I'm praying for you. Ain't no hate, ain't no love lost. It's nothing like a beautiful, inside and outside, virtuous woman. You just want to respect her. You know, you just, it's just nothing like being that. That's truly, and when she becomes someone's wife, that's even more of a beautiful gift. According to Sirach 26 chapter, it extends a man's life and brings a blessing to his countenance too. When he has a good woman at home, that's not. So, work on that. Let's get it. Can you stand the rain? R-E-I-G-N. I know y'all thinking about on a perfect day. I know that I can count on you. That ain't the rain I'm talking about. Fair use. R-E-G-N is sovereign occupation. But it also means a dominating power or influence. And I want you to get through what we're going through and what we're getting ready to go to. So we got three reigns we're talking about. The reign of Satan, the Antichrist, the rain of fire that will purge out the rebels and the millennial reign. When we talk about Satan the Antichrist, let's look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. Let's go there first. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. I may have everything here. I hope it is. Excuse me, my computer's running a little bit slow. It's probably time to upgrade. This Mac is whack. One second, please. I'll just turn there my word while the computer's trying to boot up. Oh, boy. Bear with me, people. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Can't depend on the computer, so let's use the Bible. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. And it reads, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition." Verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Yah, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Now, that's exactly what happened that Satan described in Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Let me see if I can't pull this up. I don't know what's going on here. Isaiah 14th chapter gives you Satan's 5-point plan, where he describes to you that he would be worshipped. And many people are deceived and don't understand that this happened. This happened with the onset of pseudo-pagan Christianity, Nicolaitans. And also, this is a part of the many various religions that are in the earth, in the world today, and the teaching that they all worship the same God. Satan is being worshipped. I'm upset that my notes that I had here are not booting up. We're just going to go with the scriptures. Let's go to Daniel 7 and 8. We'll let scripture interpret scripture today. Daniel 7 and 8 says, "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and the mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like fiery flaming vessels burning." Now let's go back to Revelations. I'm just getting some scriptures, build a little foundation, so that I'm not just being philosophical with my viewpoints, what I'm saying. Revelations 13, 5 and 7. It says, "And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against the Most High, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." Let me read that again. I had some technical difficulties on the video recorder. Give me one second on Blog Talk. Just hold on. Let's see what's going on. Everything wants to cut up right now. Okay, I must be on point. Amen. Yeah, it must be on point. I don't understand. Bear with me one second. Okay, we're going to continue with, we'll just go ahead and continue with Blog Talk for right now. And we'll stop the recording. It's no big deal. Okay. So I was reading, let me read these verses over. Revelation 13:5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. And blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against the Most High to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. That would be us. Who are the saints? Psalms 148. The saints aren't who the Catholic Church says we're going to dub you a saint and make you a saint. When we read the book of Psalms 148, we find Israel are the saints of the Most High. You don't, Catholic Church doesn't have that authority to make saints. So he's making war with the saints. We are in the midst of Jacob's trouble. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, do you realize that they're saying that there are people born into the earth that are slain from the foundation, and they were meant to be vessels? This is in Psalms. I wish I had the scripture. They're born into destruction. They're here for no good, no godly reason, but they'll function as a purpose to push Satan's kingdom. There's people that are born here that are not in the Lamb's book of life, not his chosen people, and will not be grafted in, that are here to operate with Satan and his demons to take us through pure hell. Because at the end of the day, this is against the blood. This battle, spiritual warfare, is against the bloodline of Satan and his kingdom trying to destroy humanity and the earth against the indigenous people who are the children of Israel. Brothers and sisters, if this is the new world order we're going into, it has already been stated that you will not enter. I got the picture and I wish I could put it up. The picture says that the picture solidifies the fact that we are in the midst of a Luciferian initiation. And it says, no one will enter the new world order unless he or she will make a pledge to worship Lucifer. No one will enter the new age unless he will take a Luciferian initiation. They are through with Islam. They are through with Christianity. They are through with Buddhism. They are introducing Satanism. They have duped the whole world and brainwashed them for the satanic reign, and they're leading everyone into it. And with the premise of Satanism, Aleister Crowley, which is do what thou wilt, takes us back to when I talked about the problem with our young people. They're living what they will. They're living the way they want to live, which means you only live once, YOLO. They have sex with whatever they want to have sex with. They're trisexual. And that all you have to do is be good. And we're living old, antiquated lifestyles, talking about Jesus and going to church. Ain't nobody with that. And y'all, what y'all talking about? Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. So this is a part of an introduction to Satanism. And if I could go into it, but you know I can't, about the sticky stick, you don't even understand that that is taking a pledge as well. Because David Spangler, director of Planetary Initiative, for the United Nations, that will be responsible for the one world global governance, which will have one world global religion, which will have one world global economy and money, it's already set. And because Satan knows he's out of time, because our God said that I'm going to have to shorten the days, Satan and anyone else can tell that God must be real, because these days go by so fast. There's been a shortening of the times. Can you stand the rain? What's going to happen while you're going through the rain? Let's go to the second rain. Let me make sure I covered everything with this first, the reign of the Antichrist. We already did 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. We did Daniel 7 and 8. We just did Revelations 13 and 5. I want to read something to you from Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, I believe this was 16, and his dogmatic theology. Listen to what he said. This is key. As far as the Antichrist is concerned, we have seen that in the New Testament, he always assumes the lineaments of a contemporary history. He cannot be restricted to any single individual. One and the same, he wears many masks in each generation. You've been taught to look for a man who's going to appear on the Jimmy Fallon show or the Jimmy Kimmel show and say, hi, it's me, the Antichrist. But it's a functioning system that has been in control and had power for over 200 years through these royal families and bloodlines that control, that have all the power in the world. They run all the corporations, they bought all the real estate within this whole world and have bought off your politicians, sit on the boards of all these corporations and own all the pharmaceutical companies and make sure that they make you sick so that you become a slave to the pharmaceutical industry. This is a system at work that at the core is trying to eliminate the children of Israel, the indigenous and their culture and their belief in their God and worship to their God, Satan. 1 John 2:18-22. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that the Antichrist was coming, so now many Antichrists have appeared. Thus we know this is the last hour. They all over the place. Leading politicians are filled with a supreme demon and spirit. Problem is you didn't realize how many demons are at a top level that are cooperating with each other. It's not just Lucifer, the son of the morning, who was fallen. There was the serpent. There was the demons. There was the watchers. There was the demons in the book of Enoch that slept with the women and taught these, you know, there's a third of the angels in heaven that fell with Satan. And then those 200 watchers that slept with the women. You don't know the levels and ranks and captains and generals of demons that you're dealing with that look to possess bodies, which are your leading politicians who are ruthless, who wants you dead. Population reduction, from your Fauci's to your Gates to every last one of them. There are many antichrists. You have to remember, Christ has nothing to do with Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach. That's not his second name. Christ means the anointed one. I've told you before, during Antiochus Epiphanes and Alexander the Greek in those times, that there were temples of Serapis, another false Christ that they called Christians, so-called anointed ones. So don't get that twisted. That's coming from the pagan Christianity you learned that will not allow you to decipher what times we're living in. Can you stand the satanic reign? Let's see if we got some more here. Before the Most High's arrival, there will be apostasy, and one well described as the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, must be revealed, who tradition would come to call the Antichrist. That was a general audience of El Observatore Romano, not necessary. I'll read one more and then we'll move on to the second one. If we study but a moment the signs of the present time, the menacing symptoms of our political situation and revolutions, as well as the progress of civilization, and the increasing advance of evil corresponding to the progress of civilization and the discoveries in the material order, we cannot fail to foresee the proximity of the coming of the man of sin and of the days of desolation foretold by Yeshua. Evil is being called good. I mean, good is being called evil. Everything is turned upside down. It can be depressing. Or you can look at it and say, look at the prophecies being fulfilled. We don't have long. He said, when you see these things, to look up, not keep looking at your phone, getting depressed, walking around with your head down. The scripture that says, look up, is speaking of the Old Testament scripture that says, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the Most High. We're looking for our redemption, saints, true saints. Our redemption is drawing nigh. You just thought you wouldn't see it like this. And many of you wanted to wait for the rapture and thought you wouldn't get to see any of these things. And you're in the midst of it. You're in the midst of it. There's many more I could read about this. I don't want to deal with these Catholics, the Vatican, because they're ran by these, by the Illuminati and these elite bloodlines. They control Israel. They bought that land. They control the Vatican, and they control, they created Islam as well. They're at the core of that, at the behest, and all these false religions. Everything is funded by them, even the wars to kill and destroy people. And these people are demons at the core. And these demons want, I can't say these words, they want that stuff they drink that comes from babies because they can't continue to live, and they're trying to live forever. And you see them live to be 100 and 110 walking around here looking like lizards. It's pathetic. Let's go to the rain of fire. That's our second rain we want to talk about. Can you stand the rain? Let's get rid of this real quick. Give me 1 second. When we talk about the rain of fire, we're also talking about the refiner's fire. So when we talk about a refining fire, we're talking about, let me read the scriptures. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say that the Most High is my power, my God. That refining fire is that as we're going through the fire, good song, my God, we're being refined, the ones that are going to make it. And as we go through the fire, there's so many fires popping into mind because when we're in the wilderness, we're going to be protected by fire. But the rebels that are amongst us will be purged out. But let me tell you something else. Let's go back to Lot and his family. As Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed by the fire, they were being pulled through the fire and out of the fire, and they were saved. This is the mindset I need you to have with first understanding that fire that's coming upon the earth that is the reign of the Antichrist system. And then the reign of fire that exists that is there to purge you is you coming out. Let me read more scriptures to explain what I'm saying. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Yeshua. We're getting ready to go through more tough times to where you're not going to even be able to make moves because you're taking a stand and saying, I refuse to comply. I am not going to take your mark. I refuse to take it. I don't need to operate in your system. I don't want your Luciferian initiation mechanism because many of our people are losing faith, and they are literally inseminating themselves with demons and destruction and control with a patent number on it. You belong to these people. Those that will say no are exhibiting their faith, but you're being tried because Satan and the world and everybody around you is looking at you like, what's wrong with you? How are you going to live? How are you going to eat? How are you going to pay your bills? For God I live, for God I'll die. I'll trust in Yah. This is why a couple of weeks ago, and in this word, we talk about the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, and we talk about Daniel in the lion's den. We talk about Noah and him being ridiculed. You got to understand what's going on, that it's your turn now, and you're going to have to be stand. Will you be refined? Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Malachi 3:1-18, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Most High whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Most High of hosts. Let me encourage you with these scriptures. I got a few more. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Yeshua, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Do you believe it? Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The refining fire. The rain of fire from Yah. Proverbs 17:3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. But the Most High trieth the hearts. Many of our people, I pray for you now. If you've done the wrong thing, repent. Maybe he'll have mercy on you. Lots of things you're going to have to do as far as your nutrition. But I don't know. You may have to just leave here a little early, get your affairs in order, and pray that he may forgive you. Because the thing that is in you, you have no idea. And I'm not speaking on it today. Proverbs 17:3. The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tried the hearts. I got a few more. Psalm 66:10-12. For thou, O Yah, hast provided us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. 1 Peter 1:6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love Yah, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Matthew 3:10-11, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit will be hewn down and cast into the fire. I'm going to leave that right there for now. I want to go to the next one, which is the millennial reign. After we come through all of these things, the Antichrist's reign, the refining fire, which is the reign of fire, we'll be prepared for the millennial reign and to reign with our Savior. So let me encourage you. Let's start first with Revelation 21:3 to break it down. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key. If you stand, this is where you will be. Holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time, but then he will be destroyed again immediately by our Savior's word. The Isaiah 11:9. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of knowledge from the Most High as the waters covers the sea. Isaiah 19:24. In that day, Israel will be the third party with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth. Isaiah 11:4. But with righteousness, he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he will slay all the wicked. Millennial reign. Romans 8:17. And if children, heirs also, heirs of Yah, and fellow heirs with HaMashiach, if needed, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. We've got to go through this. You were taught that you're not going to have to go through this. That was fear teaching, and it was a lie. And this manifesto was put together by the Blue Bloods to deceive the Christian church, to teach them about a rapture, an antichrist, and all these things, to give you a false hope, to let your guards down so that they can continue to brainwash you with the television and policies that destroy families and COINTELPRO, cognitive dissonance, controlled opposition. Because you just look, we're like, I can do whatever I want because I got grace and faith. I can live however I want, which is a satanic premise. And I'm not going to go for anything because I'm going to get raptured out of here. So you've been lied to, brothers and sisters, and you don't have any faith or construct to take you through the fiery times and the various reigns to get to the millennial reign. Now you have to relearn and prepare and repent and hopefully make it through without fear. Get ready to close out. Don't like to be long-winded anymore. 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter 1, first chapter and third verse. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Listen carefully. Be virtuous. And to virtue, get you some knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Calm down. And to temperance, patience. Wait on him, I say. And to patience, godliness. Be about your Father's business. And to your godliness, brotherly kindness. Be nice to people. And charity. Charity is so important. It's only what you do for Christ will last. And then don't forget Matthew 6. Not the charity that's seen by the whole world to get a worldly reward. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Yeshua HaMashiach. But he that lacketh these things is still blind and cannot see afar off in the spirit and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of Yeshua HaMashiach. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them, and be established in the present truth. I'll stop right there. We'll make it through the fire now that we have the understanding of where we are and what time we're living in and what we must do while it's there. Increase our faith. Stand through the rain, through the fire, through this satanic evil world where evilness has taken over. And then when the bombs and the fire starts falling, will you still keep the faith knowing that you're going to come out as pure gold because you didn't lose the faith? You didn't get scared. You didn't wonder about people knocking on your doors trying to give you a sticky stick. You didn't worry about these nuclear bomb threats, activities. Not worried about that. How are you going to eat? How are you going to live? What you going to put? You have been reading this thing properly your whole life and thought they were fables and stories. They were stories to encourage you that what he's done for them, he'll do also for you if you walk upright in him. Keep the faith and keep the commandments. You exercise godliness and holiness and be set apart. It's time to separate yourself from cocktail parties, social media, what the world is doing, how the world is dressing, what the world is eating, who won the game. You're digging in now. You're digging in. You're trying to protect your children. Pretty much got to pull them out of the schools with all the different educational doctrines they're putting inside them and their indoctrination centers. Fourth grade kids having teaching them to have sex with each other, and they're literally doing it, and teachers are not stopping them because they're teaching them about their body parts. This world has gotten hyper evil. So you have to get hyper holy because you're the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and you've got power to cast these demons out. And you've also got power to lay hands on the sick, those with C-19, and heal the sick. You don't believe it no more. It said, call for the elders if there be any sick amongst you. Not go stand in this line and wait your turn to inseminate. No. What are you doing? Brothers and sisters, we can make it through this. We're going to get through this. We really don't have much time. I pray that you can lock in, fasten in, put your seatbelt on, and just start just scratching things off the list. And I'm not talking about a bucket list of sin. Time is out for doing that because the way it is now, Satan is playing for keeps. You talking about, let me go see Johnny one last time. One of Johnny's girls might be and shot you. Or Johnny going to leave you a nice disease that's going to take you out early. And that goes both ways. It's just that these demons that have been released on this world and this stupor and this tribulations are playing for keeps. If they can get you to walk away from Yah right now, they want to make sure you don't go back, because the point is to destroy you, cause your mind to snap, and take one for the team. Satan's team. So you don't have those luxuries anymore. Let the past be the past. Let your yay be your yay and your nay be your nay. And look forward and look up and press toward the mark to obtain your prize and say that I'm going to get there. This might be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life, but it's worth it. Temporary over eternity? Quick fix over immortality? Nah, come on, man. You're not just this body. Your essence is your spirit. It's a presence that's going to live forever. If you do the right things, you'll be amongst the holy watchers and the holy angels and those that have gone on before us that are cheering for you to make it. Be a part of the remnant. Be one of the saints. Praying for me, praying for you that we get through. Remember, the only for sure obstacle is truth. So think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Shabbat Shalom.